Welcome back to another tantalizing episode of the Blue Line Brothers. I'm Fred.
I'm Frank.
And we're still here, ironically enough.
Well, I'm here, you're there.
That's right, I am there. So yeah, I thank you for the clarification. Excuse me. Well, we are back to talk about, a little more positive things tonight. You know, we've been talking about all the doom and gloom stuff and about how we're all, well, doomed on multifarious levels. And so now we can shift gears just a wee bit and start talking about things that we can do to empower ourselves so we don't have to be in the crosshairs of all this doom and gloom stuff.
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter how much preparation you have, you're still going to be in the crosshairs.
Well, you're right. Yeah, well, we could be in the crosshairs, depending upon where we find ourselves when the actual the proverbial switch gets flipped.
But the better way of looking at it is, if you prepare now, that means you can put more cannon fodder between you and those crosshairs.
Yeah, that reminds me of a great point. I refer to this gentleman as my second dad when I was growing up. He was a mechanic that worked for my dad's company, and he was a former Marine, and he was in during the Korean War conflict, so the early 50s. He actually went to boot camp, I believe, in 1950. And he ended up becoming an aircraft mechanic, and he spent, I think, his entire enlistment at Cherry Point, North Carolina. And, excuse me, he, every once in a while, would bring up this topic, even back in the 1980s, as we were going up, because he had the vision, and he could see, you know, all the methylethyl bad stuff that was coming together even back in the 80s. Mm-hmm. So he had a great deal of foresight, very intelligent man, but he would get on the topic of Clausewitz every once in a while. And, of course, that's before I really got into Sun Tzu and all this stuff. But what was funny is he would discuss, battlefield statistics is a good way to relate to it, you know, for all of those who are uninitiated with Clausewitz and Sun Tzu and all that stuff. So, basically, his point was, as long as I blow away two of those SOBs, that's one more than they can do to me. Mm-hmm. So he said, "Yeah, that's my mindset. You know, when it comes down to, the crosshairs and the cannon fodder actually being lobbed at one another, that was his point of view on things. And of course, that was, very much Marine Corps level. We're just gonna take care of business and destroy whatever's in front of us, and whatever happens, happens."
Yeah.
But yes, so, excuse me, and I know a lot of people, especially today's society, completely different than the 1980s and all that. And of course, we've touched on a lot of this stuff ad nauseum, and I'm sure there's plenty of other stuff that...
They don't even know what bathroom to use now.
Well, that is true. Yes, you're right. Yeah.
I would love to have the proverbial time machine and take 30 people from this day and age and transport them back to the late 70s, early 80s. Yeah. And just watch their head explode.
Well, I'm great point. I was speaking to a young lady. Let's see here. I'm 52. She was a little bit older than I am. And we were discussing, you know, hearkening back into the good old days, so to speak. And I brought up some things that that we did in Cub Scouts. You know, of course, Cub Scouts back in the, what, we were 4th, 5th, 6th graders in that neighborhood. Okay, so what, 9 to 12 years old, something like that. Okay, that would be, what we did back in the late 70s and 80s as Cub Scouts would be considered child abuse now.
Oh, yeah.
Excuse me. We, in order to get our polar bear patch, we had to go camping in below 32 degree weather with a minimal amount of equipment. And we had to survive a weekend and do certain things and cook food and do this and do that, but as Cub Scouts.
But did you put bread sacks on your feet?
No, we did not get to that point. I'm trying to think what we discussed that. I mean, that was part of the curriculum. But I'm trying to remember. We did. Oh crap! What did we do?
When I did mine, it was so damn cold that we had a GP large tent that had about a foot and a half, maybe 2 feet of straw that we have spread in there. We all had bread sacks on our feet.
Oh yeah.
Bread sacks on our hands inside of our, I mean, it was cold, but let me tell you what, it was some of the best times ever.
We had a boatload of fun. You talk about bonding experience. Holy crap, man. I mean, even some of us guys that didn't get along with each other, when we went through stuff like that, we were buddies afterward. You know what I'm saying? Because we all went through something. I mean, obviously, we talk about that. You know, you're a military experience and some law enforcement experience. Yeah, it bonds us. But even as little kids, you know, 9, 10, 11-year-old kids. And of course, back then, too, I know you remember. I mean, every once in a while, you know, okay, if you have a scuffle with somebody, you went and had a fist fight in the playground after school, and then everybody, you know, you shook hands afterwards, and more than likely you ended up buddies at least a month or a year or so later. And, I mean, of course, that doesn't happen these days.
So. When it was done, it was done.
Exactly. You put it to bed.
And it was the same thing when I was in the Army. We'd have a problem. We'd go in one of the empty off-post rooms, and we'd beat the snot out of each other. And then when it was done, it was squashed, it was over, and we just moved on.
Exactly. Yeah, you weren't planning on trying to snipe the guy, you know, as he was getting in his car to go see his girlfriend or something like that. I mean, none of this stuff. Mm-mm. So that's back when boys were boys and men were allowed to be men.
Yeah.
You know.
Now men, you know, want to be women.
Well, yeah. Or aliens, or a maple tree planted someplace, or I
really wonder if I should censor myself, you know, because I wouldn't want any kind of repercussion from my
thoughts.
That's
right, exactly. Yeah, you know, we really put ourselves out there, quote unquote. I'm using air quotes on a podcast again, but you're absolutely right. We were just discussing this right before we hit the record button. Yeah, yeah. It's like, man, I would hate to ruin my professional future by saying something off color or off politically incorrect or something like that on a podcast. You know, oh my gosh, you know, we're no longer.
The funny
liable.
Thing is, there is a large scope that they could have listened and picked something from, and I can only imagine what little snippet that they heard and went, "Oh, hell no!"
I think I could pretty well guess. Yeah.
Well, I've got about seven or eight ideas.
Well, just
in
the last few episodes, I'm thinking they probably went back just one or two episodes. And because I was about to ask you later in this episode, have you had any visits lately from any ABC agencies? You know, because
no, but I'm pretty sure I will.
By now, yes, I'm thinking the words out.
I mean, it's already proven to be detrimental, so I'm just waiting.
Yes, yes.
I've got the Sympathy for the Devil song queued up. So
there you go.
Yeah, come on in.
Exactly, and of course. You know, all joking aside, we both understood and contemplated these things before we even started the podcast. And so we expect this stuff to happen.
But, you know, you hit the nail on the head, and it was better to have it happen now as opposed to 3 to 6 months down the road.
I think it would have been a little bit uglier situation had it been down the pike, so to speak.
And, it was probably a blessing in disguise, you know? I mean,
I think it is, actually.
The work schedule now is very conducive to what I have going on in my personal life. That's... you know, just time-wise. And, you know, if that would have worked out,
that would have thrown a monkey wrench.
I mean, it would have just blown it 180 degrees out of whack. So it's well, okay.
That and we have a good thing going, and why mess it up type of thing too.
Right.
So
you know, and then so you know that door shut, and then there's another one that kind of cracked halfway open and said, "Hey, come here." So.
Well, and that's a great point. Once again, I'm glad you brought that up, because here's when we talk about all this stuff, that's how we have to look at things, okay? And it, like I warned Frank a couple of weeks ago, I'm going to stumble upon a topic that might be a little touchy for some people, but once again, since we've already touchied a few other people, who cares? Like, okay, now it's going to be a contest. Who can, you know, how many people can we offend in just one episode? Okay, but
are you sure you want to get into that battle with me?
Well, yeah. Let's try to stay on topic for a little bit before we go off onto that tangent, because now, don't get me wrong, it's going to be much more entertaining on that tangent down the pike. But
well, okay, so here's a little preview. I have picked my pronouns.
You have?
Yeah.
You haven't told me about
I'm going to go with she and it.
She and it?
Because I am the shit. And on that note,
there we go. All right, ladies and gentlemen, now that half of our audience is no longer with us.
No. We're covered in that demographic.
Oh, that's right.
So we're good.
You're right. Yeah,
we are good.
We are good on that. If I
offended you with that, you know, comment, well, sorry. If I didn't, don't worry. Something else I say will get to you.
Eventually. Yeah, it's kind of like, well, we won't.
Just be patient.
But the whole thing is, though, we've started off about mindset, superior mindset, and all this stuff. Well, this is part of that superior mindset, okay? It's like, hey, you know, instead of dwelling upon the negative crap that happened to happen, we recognize the stuff for what it is, and we try to learn something from it. You know, obviously, everything is an opportunity to learn and grow. But at the same time, you don't dwell upon it. You don't let your blood pressure go up. You don't get emotional over stuff. No, because there's plenty of other positive stuff that come along with that package. And that's what we have to do. And so many of us are trained on focusing on the negative all the time. Bam, we see, oh my gosh. And of course, that once again, you know, man, now I'm torqued off, or now I'm really bummed out. I can't do this, or I was really focused on doing that. And we don't focus on the other positive aspects. There's always something positive or a set of positive aspects within every challenge or avenue within life. We have to be able to see it, though. And it's up to us to be able to go and look at it and actually focus on it and say, look, yeah, like I said, I can learn from this negative aspect. Okay, this is what it was. Okay, would I really have been happy? Just like what we just talked about, you know, just in a couple of minutes, you know, we kind of reasoned out things. It's like, yeah, you know what? I'm happy with my schedule. I'm happy with doing this. I'm happy with the possible opportunities that are coming down the pike just with what we're doing now. So once again, yeah, we're going to learn from the negative stuff, but then we're going to just, instead of dwelling upon it, we're going to move on. And we're going to focus on the negative or on the positive stuff. So you know you have me saying stuff like that. But so that's a part of that mindset is, yeah, let's focus on the positive stuff and not waste a whole lot of the rest of our lives on the negative stuff that is already in the history. We're not going to change the history. We don't need to. We just need to make a better future for ourselves. And that's the whole thing. Once again, this whole doom and gloom thing. Okay, part of that is recognizing the truth. And part of that is recognizing, you know, broadening one's scope, if you will, to entertain various possibilities that maybe normally we don't typically entertain. And once again, a big cop-out to that is, oh, it's just a conspiracy theory. Oh, you're full of crap, which is just fine. You can say that it's a conspiracy theory. You can say that we're full of crap. But here's the thing. When we dictate that, hey, you know, there's some factual basis to the things that we bring up. No, I don't want to recognize it. Well, you don't want to recognize it because, oh, my gosh, it's too dark and spooky, because if it really is true, oh, my God, you know.
Well, it actually goes even deeper than that. So today's generation has been indoctrinated to believe that the government has their best interest in mind. Mm-hmm. and they've all drank the Kool-Aid. Well, I don't want to say all of them, but the majority of them, they drank the Kool-Aid, and it's like, you know, oh, the government's here to help us.
Okay.
And it's, you know, you get the generation prior to that one standing here going, hey, jackass, wake up. Look around and see what you're dealing with. Everything that you go to the grocery store and you look at your bill now as compared to, say, 18 months ago. No, like last year. Okay? Same president. 10, 11, 12 months apart. You're paying twice the amount now as you were then for less stuff. Inflation, cost of living, everything is going up. Who's benefiting from this? Not us. But yet you cannot get that through their head because they drank the Kool-Aid, they have been indoctrinated, and they still understand this weird concept that the government is good, and that's all they think about.
Well, I agree with all that, but I think it's also part of our generation, too. Because there's a young lady I was speaking to not more than a week ago, a few years older than us. I'd say mid to late 50s neighborhood, so still Gen X.
I'll give you that. There are some in our generation that think that. Because at one point in time, there were some presidents that, you know, you would think, oh, damn, you know, does have a point. Maybe that is true. And then, of course, you know, your common sense kicks in and goes, what am I thinking?
Well, and that's the thing. Number one, it's okay to question. It's and just like we talk about.
It's your job to question.
If you don't believe us, then that's great. Don't believe us. Don't believe what we're saying. Go research what we're saying. Excuse me. And then come back with some facts that contradict what we're saying. Okay? But find the facts. Do the homework. Investigate. Because just like what you were doing with Behold the Pale Horse, the book that we've spoken, you know, make referrals to number of times in the last few seasons.
Oh, the second book.
Excuse me. But, I mean, while you were stationed in D.C., you spent time, you went to the Library of Congress. You had a list.
You can find it. It's there.
What a dozen and a half points that you randomly pulled out of that book. You went to the Library of Congress and looked up each and every one of them.
They're there. All you got to do is look for them.
So the facts, once again, oh, that's just a conspiracy, a book full of conspiracy theory. No, actually it's not. It's a book based upon fact. Now, once again.
And even in the book itself, you turn to the back in the appendix. They have, at the end of each chapter, they have where to go and find the information for yourself. Then you flip to the very back of the book. There are copies of every single thing that he has used for that book. If there was a memorandum or, you know, a newspaper clipping or whatever, it's there. Right there. It's right there. Then it tells you where to go find it.
I remember you were so you were so focused on this stuff. When you went one of the trips to the Library of Congress, you thought for sure somebody was going to follow you out of that place.
Mm-hmm.
When you pulled up certain topics and criterion, that's how focused and honest.
I tell you, this stuff is, I mean, textbook. Hide it in plain sight. It's there. All you have to do is go find it. They don't try and hide it. I mean, it's just, it's there.
But the point is, today's generation, if you can't do two or three finger swipes, it doesn't exist.
Mm-mm.
Or it's not worth looking for. Once again, it goes back to intellectual laziness. Well, intellectual honesty. Because once again, look at the... once again, there are some sources that are legitimate on the internet. I mean, I almost shudder to say that. Yeah. There are. There actually are. So, but here's the thing. As someone asked me, well, what do you do, once again, as a cop or as an investigator? What do you do? Well, number one, if somebody comes up and says, hey, Joe Schmuckatelli just shot, you know, little Susie, you know, 2 days ago in that park, in the city park. Okay. First of all, I have to verify that information. That, hey, it's literally true. Because somebody can be telling a story. Imagine that. Somebody could be trying to get somebody else in trouble. Oh, my gosh. But I also take another step to verify the source of which or from which the knowledge derived. Okay, so it's not just, okay, well, is that statement true? Okay, well, maybe it is true. Is that enough? No, it's not. Now I need to verify the source, okay, and determine, does this source possess veracity? Okay, yes or no? And maybe, once again, in our line of work, we realize not nearly much of anything is black and white. It's a variable shade of gray is what we find. Okay, but once again, what do? Just like with Behold the Pale Horse, you know, the author didn't go to just one source to list, you know, X number of facts within the book. Okay, just like you were talking about, he had multifarious sources for all the major, I say major chapters within the book, because once again, covering like the Kennedy assassination, I mean, such a dynamic situation. You don't just go to one source and find all your information and then list it. Okay, no, you have to, okay, you verify one source by finding another source, and then another source, excuse me, and do a cross-reference. Okay, was this really true? Okay, did the time frames mesh? You know, all this other stuff that you sit down and actually try to figure out before you go out and say, hey, it was Bozo the Clown that shot JFK. You know, or no, it really was a magic bullet. It traveled six different directions inside of half a millisecond, and you know, because the bullet tip came from Mars, and you know, all that. No,
yeah.
So
it was made out of a meteor.
Exactly. Yeah. It came out of a meteor. So that's the whole thing. You have to be curious enough to be willing to take some time and make some effort to find the truth. And like I said, the two or three. Internet sources. Okay, before I even decided to follow them for very long, I just take one or two episodes, if you will, or clips or what have you. I say, okay, what do they present here? All right, is this truthful? Okay, if it is, once again, okay, what sources did they use? Okay, did they just go to some other news source and pull it out, you know, and say, oh, hey, look at that? No, they actually had a source that was at that location. That was actually alive and actually witnessed this or did not witness that or whatever, or overheard this and that. And that's the whole thing. You know, you have to take it to that level to try to verify that information. And once again, just like you say, 99.9% of society would much rather trust a talking head on the evening news or their beloved politician because the government's here for us.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, once again, I was referring to a lady a little bit older than us. She is actually in the medical field as she's a researcher. Okay. I have a great deal of respect for her. She's a highly intelligent young lady. And she is very good at what she does. She's worked for a couple of pharmaceutical companies over the years. And she's very good at what she does. But once again, we got into a situation about the previous thing that happened across the country that derived from China on purpose. Mm-hmm. Oh, did I just say that out loud? But the whole thing is, even her, I said, look, boom, boom, boom. Here's some facts for you. You know, here's why, you know, it came from a lab. Do you realize that lab, you know, produces very bad methyl ethyl stuff for people? Okay. And, you know, it's a weapons grade lab. Okay. That's what they do. Oh, really? Yes. And if you actually go, and I throw some references out there. Here's what I found. You know, here's how you connect this. Here's how you connect that. And she just starts laughing. And I said, well, I'm glad it's amusing for you. She said, yeah, but, you know, I have a friend that says she doesn't believe in that.
Okay.
Okay, great. I said, so what's the basis on your friend's opinion? And I, once again, I'll admit, I'm just expressing an opinion. However, I'm stating facts within that opinion.
CNN so, told me not to believe in it.
There you go. Okay, now, counteract my fact and tell me, once again, I can be wrong. I'm quite fallible. People that know me know that I screw up on a daily basis. But when I go and say, hey, I read, you know, a patent that came out of the Pure Mantle Institute in Britain, I actually read through the entire patent. Now, once again, because I only have a few brain cells that operate, I needed a PDR and a thesaurus and a notebook to take notes to remember what I had to go research and look up and all this stuff. But I didn't just read the abstract of the patent. I read the entire 30, 40 pages of this patent that seems like it's written in Martian. But the whole point is, getting through all that stuff, it took me days to do this just for one patent. Once again, when you only have a few brain cells active, it takes a long time to do this stuff. The whole point is, that's how I found out that Bill Gates had a connection to that lab.
Oh, yeah.
That's how I found out that money goes from not only Bill Gates, but there's three main labs that actually are housed within, publicly taxpayer-funded universities within this country. One mm-hmm. of which happens to be in North Carolina with the initials of UNC. Ooh, crap. Huh. Should I have said that out loud? I'm sorry. But that's, again, so when I say
Does that stand for Uncle Nathan's Corner Store?
You know what? Funny you bring that up. They make some wonderful apple butter in that place. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's to die for, man. I wish I sold it on Amazon, man. I could just order like flats of it to my house. But,
well, actually, so there is a military institution that is just north of D.C. in the suburbs, if you will, of D.C. That houses every every virus that will essentially eat the skin off of your body. That they're live viruses. And then, of course, they have some that they just don't tell nobody about. Mm-hmm. And when you are driving on the highway, you literally can look to your left or right, depending which way you're going, and see this institution. Mm-hmm. It is that close. You know, think about Ebola and all of those detrimental to your life viruses, they have them there.
So what you're telling me is, how do they say it? Cleaning the swamp? What was it? Draining the swamp would be a hell of a lot easier than what we thought.
Oh yeah.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. That close to the Beltway. Some of the most evil people on the planet.
When I was there, it's without traffic. I know that's never going to happen. But without traffic from the George Washington Bridge to this institution, you could get there in about 40 minutes.
Wow.
Going the speed limit. If you don't believe me, look up Fort Detrick. Your mind will just blow. They have every known virus that's out there. And they actively work on them and try to manipulate them.
Mm-hmm. Gain of function. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what gain of function is all about. So feel free, once again, open up a book. You know, they're still around in places called libraries. Yes. So even if you can't just finger swipe on your magic device in your hand, go to a library and look at books. You can actually open a book, and there's something called pages within those books. They're bound.
And actually, you will get closer to the truth in a book than you will on the internet. Because really? The book has been printed, and it's here. It's there. It's physical. They can't go in and edit that book like they can something on like a website or a page or whatever. They can just go in there, a few little tip, tap, 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 bleep bloops on the keyboard and change the whole dynamics of what they have on there. You mean, and you are none the wiser.
Kind of like when I was explaining to people how a mask doesn't work for a virus that's airborne like that, and then I referred to the OSHA requirements, and then mysteriously enough, all of a sudden, I went back to look for the OSHA handbook that was online, and suddenly it's no longer there.
Yep.
Oh my gosh, you mean just like that? You mean where there are actually facets, various facets of the U.S. government that can disprove the lies spewing out of the beltway, if you will, or the swamp, if you will.
I mean, it...
kind of like firearms statistics where everybody says millions and billions of us are dying from illegal gun usage, and then if you actually go to the DOJ
and look up their stats... There are more people that die from getting hit in the head with a hammer than getting shot.
So that's funny. There are actually facets of our own government that factually disprove all the lies and bullcrap that come out of the mouths of the politicians within the Beltway.
But then again, those are the same ones that say, and I quote, yes, the AR-27 can shoot 150 rounds per second from a 30-round clip.
That's
what
awful.
In the actual... What is that?
That sounds like a politician that knows absolutely nothing about anything.
Oh yeah, I know. Which is
the norm. I mean,
this was on one of the news shows that I will watch. And this guy was a former cop.
Really?
That spewed that bullshit out of his mouth.
Really?
And then got into a pissing match when he got called on it.
Kind of like that former cop. No, he wasn't FBI. He was a former federal officer that was, he did two different interviews that I just happened to pick up. We were talking about one of them the last year or so. He was trying to tell everybody, or prove everybody, that the quote-unquote aircraft that hit the Pentagon in 9/11 bounced itself into the Pentagon. That was it. do you realize just how stupid that sounds to begin with? But here we go. A person that has half a freaking second of training in an aircraft just to keep it aloft is actually flying a 747 sized aircraft several feet above the ground for a couple of miles and not crash, and then actually bounce it into the Pentagon.
Well,
is the most asininely,
let me just give you a little bit of how that is set up. So the Pentagon sits here across, you know, then there's the highway that runs through there. I think it ends up being the George Washington Parkway where it ties into 395 and so forth and so on. But anyways, across from that is Arlington. It's Section 70 and then the Columbarium. But anyways, you have the Arlington Cemetery, and then there are the, it's the Navy Annex. And the elevation of the Navy Annex is a lot higher than the Pentagon.
Okay.
Same way with the cemetery. It all kind of goes uphill because that's where Lee's mansion is and everything. So, yeah. Right. Anyway, there is no way in hell that that plane could have bounced in, because you have to actually miss this building in the Navy Annex, miss the overpasses going into D.C., which go over 395 and everything. So it's just literally a straight shot. It's like you're either going to hit the ground or you're going to hit the Pentagon.
Okay.
So it's boom, direct shot. And, I mean, I'm not an engineer and I'm not a smart man, but it's like, oh, okay.
No, but I've been in evidence tech for a long time, okay? I've been trained in crime scene reconstruction and all that bullshit. Not that it means anything. But when I look at pictures of that facade that was damaged with the so-called aircraft, the landscape in front of that facade was untouched. So tell me how an aircraft could have bounced off the ground into the building without even touching the landscape.
Where's the hit and skip spot where it hit and then bounced?
That's exactly, that's my point. Where's that? There is no evidence, anything, that shows that anything bounced off of the ground and into the building. Mm-mm. Now, funny enough, you know, one guy that was actually former military that was, what do you call those guys that are trained at Fort Bliss in the Army? You know, the missiles, you know, the, back artillery? In the day. But they were mission specialists, you know, the missile, Patriots.
Patriot missiles.
Okay, yeah, this guy was a former commander of a Patriot battery.
Yeah.
He listened to about the first 30 seconds of that story and called bullshit and said, yeah, no, when you look at the pictures of the damage, he said, that's called a cruise missile. Mm-hmm. Okay, not an aircraft. No, that's called a cruise missile. And he said, once again, from my background and training, and I've seen damage, I've assessed damage from missile strikes and all this stuff, that was a cruise missile.
Well,
I said,
that...
Okay, I tend to believe the guy that actually has experience, you know, having to...
And on top of that, so where the Pentagon sits, you have, you know, your entry and exit right here. And then they have surveillance. And if you watch the surveillance footage from that time frame, it happened so close. Just, I mean, at a blink of an eye, it's like, it's there and then boom.
Right.
So you don't get to actually get a good picture of what hit the building.
Exactly.
Now, is it the standard answer of, oh yes, that was one of the planes? Prove it.
Well, that's the whole thing. And of course, nobody does. Look at how many statements are made by, and once again, this is why we call politicians devil spawn, or one reason that we call them devil spawn. Number one, they're just severely corrupt, and they're treasonous, and there's only a handful of them that aren't on some foreign payroll of some sort. Technically a blanket statement is highly illogical, and I admit that, but once again, start doing some digging.
Illogical? Sure, give you that. But it doesn't take a third grader, but maybe 10 minutes to figure out, oh, well, look, you're getting money from this person, and oh, so yeah.
And once again, we're starting to see a lot of things becoming unearthed, if you will, in current time. When we see some politicians, like the bag of bones is supposedly leading our country right now, with just how corrupt his family is, once again, that's just a fine example. Let's put it that way. That doesn't mean every single piece of devil spawn, I mean, politician, is pure evil. It's safe to say there's about 80-90% of this country is, because once again, we've talked about in previous episodes about the time frame and about how a lot of this corruption has been seeded within our government, okay, since 1871. This has been going on, okay? So FDR, Woodrow Wilson, pure evil people, severely evil people, okay? We are paying such a hellacious price just from the acts that they committed. Okay, and we're still paying for them. You know, that's why we have the IRS. This is why we have income tax, okay? There's, once again, just in my high school economics class, okay, back in 1987, actually, ironically enough, I was taking economics during Black Friday when that happened. So, you know, we had some real-time education right there, okay? But the whole point is, even back then, you know, us dumbass, you know, what were we, middle schoolers, or was I in middle? Yeah, I think I was still in middle school, taking economics, and we did the math and figured out that a national income tax is pure crap. Mm-hmm. Okay, you have one universal tax, and it'll bring in more money than all these other taxes combined. Number one, and number two, it's a usage tax. So if you don't use stuff, you don't get taxed on it. You want now? There again, I can't stand this term called fair. Okay, because that's so subjective. What's fair for one person is not fair for another, or is another person going to think this is fair, but this isn't, and blah, blah, blah. So I can't stand saying, oh, it's fair. No, but it's much more of a equal tax, because once again, if you need stuff, okay, you pay the tax. If you don't, then you don't have to pay the tax. So once again, you grow your own vegetables, you don't have to go to the grocery store very much. Guess what? You don't have to pay that much tax on food or whatever. You know, just as an example. So That's the whole thing. But this is called enlightenment. The process of which we're discussing right now is, you know, number one, question what you're being told. Okay, excuse me, maybe it is factual, maybe it's not, but you know what? Make an effort. Excuse me, determine what source is legitimate and what source is not legitimate. You're going to find that most sources are not legitimate because the CCP owns most of the major, well, they own all of the major media outlets in this country. And of course, most of these other sources are subsets of those major media operations. Okay, so once again, you have to dig deeper. And then if you can't, if you're not satisfied, then dig deeper. Does it take time? Yes, it does. Once again, I really didn't like reading. I read 6 different freaking patents during that period back in 20 to 22. Okay, now, in the truth that I found, I did not like at all. And that's another thing. Okay, you're probably not going to like what you find. Okay, but here's the deal. You're going to sit there just like I did and said, you know what? I thought that person was trustworthy. I mean, I actually thought that this person, you know, had some, you know, some better interest at heart, you know, doing what they did, and they didn't. But here's the proof, okay? It's not holy crap. And that's, I mean, I had a handful of holy crap situations. Now, I had more holy crap situations when I realized, oh, yeah, I thought that guy was freaking dirty, and he was. Okay, and once again, sometimes we think these things. We may not have all of the facts, but we, once ahead, it's not wise to jump to conclusions. But the whole time, sometimes your little voice, well, I'm going to say this. My little voice has always been on point, okay? It's the times that I don't pay attention to my little voice that I get into trouble. Okay, so I'm going to say that because that's going to, it's a great segue into the one topic I really wanted to broach to this episode and get into it a little bit deeper in the next episode. But the thing is, what we are being fed right now is not very accurate and it is mostly false. Okay,
That is by design.
Thank you.
Okay, they're going to feed you, you know, the old saying, you know, don't treat me like a mushroom, keep me in the dark, feed me bullshit. Right. Okay, that's what we are to them.
Right. We're nothing but cattle. We're cattle. We are herded cattle. The only reason we exist as citizens is to pay taxes. That's the only reason we exist. Look at Ukraine. Look at what in the Middle East. All of that stuff, 90% of what you're hearing on the news or seeing on the news is false. It's fake. Okay, once again, take the time to research things and you will start to see this, all right? But you have to make the initiative, have the initiative to go and start looking at this stuff. You know, you cannot implant desire into somebody and say, hey, go do this. So you either, once again, we're full of crap. Well, that's just fine. We're full of crap. Prove us wrong.
Well, okay. And just look at it this way. There is no way in hell you're going to have me believe that all this people that live in this United States and pay taxes is not going to generate enough money to take care of this country.
Well, we were doomed from the beginning.
Well, now, yeah. So let's look at from that standpoint. So let's say you have X amount of money that's generated from your taxes. Well, those cock knockers that, you know, in Congress and, you know, the House Representative and the squatter that's in the White House, how much money do they make every year? You know, look at the benefits that they make and then, you know, look at the other underlings that are in the federal government, the average pay. So where do you think most of that money goes to? Not to mention that, you know, oh, well, we're just going to send, you know, $1 billion to this country of your tax dollars that you have no say in. Meanwhile, who's left, you know, footing the bill? It's us.
Well, here's the deal. And we've touched on a lot of this stuff in past episodes, but here's the deal. It's called a debt-based system, okay? And Mr. Mayor Amstel Rothschilds set the stuff up back in the 1700s in Europe. And he made sure that with his sons, he threw his sons out through the back then the major countries, England, France, and throughout Europe, and basically established a debt-based system. Okay, every government back then formed a central bank. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's why we have the Fed.
You mean the one family did the central bank?
Yes, the one family actually. Yes, this is once again. Napoleon was actually fighting back in the Napoleonic Wars. He did not want France under a debt-based system, and he knew what the Rothschilds were up to. And
he was just mad because he couldn't see over the counter to buy a baguette.
Well, that is true. He did have little man's. He had Napoleon syndrome, by the way.
I mean, he was what, 4'2"?
But he was Napoleon, so I mean, having Napoleon's complex.
I have
would be
me complex.
Yeah, I have a me complex. But
actually, I think it was more of an Oedipus complex. But you know, we won't go there.
Yeah, but he didn't fall in love with his mom. I don't think.
No.
Oedipus was really messed up, man. I mean, he. I'm gonna tell you right now, man. I had to write a paper on Oedipus in college, and I'm gonna.
Oh,
tell you
this
something.
Just took a damn right turn out of nowhere, didn't it?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, let's get back to one evil source.
Actually, no. I'm gonna save it. So you can actually take the concept of the Oedipus complex and apply that to the way the majority of the society looks at the government. They are in love with their mother government.
Mm-hmm. Oh yes. Because they want to be. They don't. Here's the deal. That's part of that indoctrination you were talking about. Because it takes accountability to be free. Okay. Once who was that? Ben Franklin and a couple others. With freedom comes responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that's a thing. Especially the youngsters these days, they do not want the responsibility to be free. Because that's why they don't want a driver's license.
They live off the government. I mean, we're talking three, four generations living off of government handouts.
Right. Exactly. But once again, what's the motivation behind that? We were the first, us Gen Xers were the first generation to come along where, you know, if you got a job, okay, making back when we were getting, you know, 20 grand a year was phenomenal. Remember coming out of high school and college, if you could make 20 grand a year, holy crap, man, your life was set. Okay. Well, that's a whole, but the problem is to buy a house, you're going to spend 100 grand or more. Okay, that was, you know, okay, to buy a car, you're going to, even back then, it was, you know, 15 grand to buy, I mean, most of your 1 year salary was a car, okay? You had to go into debt in order to afford things, where the boomers didn't have to do that, okay? They could save up money and pay for cash on things. Well, we couldn't. We were the first generation, and of course, it was engineered that way, okay?
Well, and you have to understand, you know, they were considered the greatest generation. You know, that was the time when one income could take care of a whole family. Mm-hmm. Mom stayed home, dad went to work. You know, you had a $6,000 house. You had a brand new car. It might have cost you $1,500.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, they weren't making $10, $15 an hour. But you ask yourself, what was different between then and now? The cost of inflation, the cost of living
mm-hmm.
was a lot lower. And what was a lot higher was the quality of life. Now, you have a shit quality of life. And your inflation is so outrageously high that people are having to work two jobs just to get by.
And there again, too, look at the quality of goods.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, basically, you're spending an arm and a leg now for junk.
Yeah.
That's not designed to last longer than 3, 4, or 5 years. So,
I mean,
once again,
it's a complete 180-degree turnaround from way it was.
If you were to look up, and especially those of us, or those of our audience that doesn't live within the country, feel free to pull up, I don't remember what the actual website is, but the National Debt Clock, mm-hmm. okay, of the United States of America.
Just do a search for debt clock.
Yeah, it'll pop up. And what you'll see, what's most disturbing about that is not the amount of debt that we owe. Okay, because most of it's fictitious anyway. I hate to say it. It's debt-based. But the thing is, what is most concerning, you look at the income. Okay, the average income 25, 30 years ago was $30,000.
Mm-hmm.
The average income today is $34,000. Now, our debt 30 years ago was, each person owed like $30,000, according to the debt clock, okay, for instance. Now it's $250,000 or more. Okay, so once again, that if you don't understand what what a Ponzi scheme is, look it up, and then look at our government and the debt-based system based upon the Fed, okay? Once again, remember, okay, just keep this in mind. You can draw whatever conclusion or don't draw, you don't have to draw any conclusions. But exactly 30 days prior to Mr. Kennedy's lead lunch in Dallas, okay, he was the only president, mind you, that composed an executive order to limit the scope of the Federal Reserve.
But did you realize that Kennedy and Lincoln were two of the most open-minded presidents we had?
Literally. Yeah. Yes.
Yep.
And actually, if I was going to take a step further, is if you actually look at President Lincoln, most people is, it was, what his decisions he made in the Civil War. But the thing is, even Mr. Lincoln, there's a tie. Mr. Lincoln was attempting to reinstitute the greenback into this country. Now, for those of you that don't understand, the greenback was literally the dollar, government-issued dollar. Okay, zero debt. No, there's no debt-based anything. Okay, he was getting. He actually got Congress to agree to do this. Okay, to bring back the greenback, and that was a slang term, because once again, the dollars back then, green ink. Mm-hmm. But the point is, they were issued directly from the U.S. government, which means they were backed by the government directly, okay? It wasn't backed by debt or by gold. You didn't have to back a directly issued piece of currency from a government was backed by the government itself, okay? That's what he was attempting to reinstitute. That was a very, very big deal, not really publicly, because it really wasn't... They had announced things about that, but of course back then they didn't have the internet and all that stuff, but it really wasn't publicly known that they were close to doing that. And there's actually some research that shows that may have been one of the underlying reasons for his assassination.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, they were like weeks away from announcing that.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course they found their their patsy, John Wilkes Booth. And, you guys know how it went from there. So, then, Kennedy, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to blow the whistle on some things. And, they found their patsy.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, he was going to shut down the CIA. He was going to, take steps to not only limit the scope of the Fed, but he wanted to put it down,
mm-hmm.
which we needed it. I mean, the biggest detriment we have right now to society as far as economics go is the Fed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so for those who don't know, there's nothing federal about the Fed. It's a private organization owned by member banks that are owned by the Rothschilds. Once again, look it up. Feel free.
I mean, honestly...
but, actually, the one of the Rothschilds that was on the board just passed away a year or so ago, 2 years ago, something like that. So I'm surprised that even made the news. But
if what we need to do is every ABC agency needs to be disbanded, and the Fed.
Yeah, because all of those ABC agencies derive from the defunct corporation of which we're living under that was formed in 1871.
You only need the three drawing a blank. You need the executive branch, the three branches. You only need the three branches of the government. That's it. You don't need all this extra stuff. Cut it out. Make it go away.
Go by the Constitution. There's only so many responsibilities outlined within the Constitution of the federal government. That's it.
Kind
of
where I was going with it.
Right.
You know, the Constitution was put in place for a reason. It's worded the way it's supposed to be worded, and it's worded for a reason. Mm-hmm. Follow it.
Now, that's why all of these pieces of garbage, the devil spawn within the Beltway right now, try to refer to the Constitution as a quote-unquote living entity, a living thing that's transformable and all of this. No, it's not. Kind of like the Magna Carta. It's a real piece of parchment, and what it says is what it says. there are no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
I mean, the Constitution doesn't say you can do this, this, or this. Pick A, B, or C.
Right.
No, it's don't change it. Don't interpret it. Read it verbatim. That's how you do it.
So that's the thing. One of the biggest points that we're trying to hit with this episode is open your eyes and start learning some things for yourself. Don't blindly believe the talking heads on TV. Especially don't believe the stupid jackassery that's going on in the Middle East right now. Very corrupt things are going on. Another thing that we should end the episode on is tribalism. Okay? Do not feed into, I'm just for this side or that side. Okay? That's what they're trying to do. Once again, you try to keep everybody divided, and we keep them conquered that way.
Well, it's segregation 2.0 is what it is.
Yes.
Okay. You're putting different races, different colors, different creeds against each other, so you have that turmoil that you're more worried about than what's going on over here.
The bigger picture really does exist. Okay, and you're not going to see it if you're focused on the minutiae of, hey, you're not, this color is doing this and that color is doing that, or, you know, team B and team A, or, oh my gosh, we can't have this. So once again, I am kind of surprised, just the last week or so, there have been a few morsels of truth actually come out from the Ukraine situation. So I'm happy to hear some of that. But once again, we'll see. Time will tell. We'll start to hear. And once again, you're going to start to hear some truth that you're not going to like. You're just not going to like it. Because there are going to be a number of people of whom you maybe not idolized, but looked up to or respected. And you're going to find out that they are not the people that you thought that they were. So,
well, and then the people that are thinking that, they're not going to agree with you because they don't want to admit that they were wrong.
Well, ego and emotion are the two biggest blockades to enlightenment, all right? Ego and emotion. Remember that part.
Well, you know what the cure to that is? When the shit hits the fan and the crowd of marauders kick their front door in.
Yeah.
And they take everything they own.
Yeah.
And leave them wallowing in their own sorrow in their front yard.
Yeah.
That emotion and that ego is gone.
I guess it would kind of disappear, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Well, with that, we're going to conclude this episode, and we're going to look forward to our next episode, where we're going to talk more about how to get beyond this doom and gloom. So with that, I am still Fred, I think.
I think I'm Frank.
Okay. Well, with that, we'll be back later.
Bye now.